T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's time for the John Chuckery Show.
Are you ready?
Sports talk in the ATL. It's not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
No. You insulted him a little bit. A little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Call or text John now at 404-741-0929. Live from the Kia Studios, it's John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And we welcome you in to the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. On the Tuesday after the Raw reunion, our guy Scott Hall coming down the ramp, man. That was so awesome. So awesome. It is the John Chuckery Show with you here on a Tuesday night. Welcome on in, taking you to 11 o'clock. We're streaming online. You go to 929thegame.com. It's our new and improved website. Catch the show live. Replays of all of our shows, interviews, breaking sports news, best moments, 929thegame.com. Download your radio.com app. Put that on your device, your phone, your tablet, your turntable, your boombox, your Walkman, your Commodore 64, text instruments, calculator. I don't know, whatever you got for a device, just put it on there. That way you can always catch us on the go. Social media-wise, all of it is at 929thegame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Join us, like us, friend us, all that good kind of stuff there. The best way to keep up with this particular show is through our personal Twitter handles. I'm at JMCH. I still got like a little bit of almond in my mouth there, Sarge. At JMCH316, at JMCH316. An almond piece just flew. Flew right through there. Air there. Sorry about all that. I know you can't see it, but I did. At JMCH316, all your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He is behind the glass producing the show tonight. Hopefully his mouth is not full of almonds, but you couldn't hear him anyway if it was. He is Jarvis, and he is at JarvisD90, up covering the Falcons. If you go to 929 The Game, by the way, there was a little video that Jarvis had posted today. So Jarvis was front and center doing his Sparty invitation out there, kind of with a microphone in front of a camera. So did Knox film that, by the way? That Knox? Okay. All right. You know, tell Knox he can text me back anytime now. I mean, you know, right, he's back to work. I've only sent him like 3 texts, and he never responds back. So much for being full-time, huh? Anyway, so a lot to get into tonight. D'Orlando Ledbetter will join us a couple of days in the books now for Falcons training camp, and we'll get some of his thoughts about what's going on up at Flowery Branch and a couple of the injuries and things. So a lot to chop up with him, even only a couple of days in. Still some storylines to start talking about, so we will hear from him. We will hear from Dan Quinn a little bit later. He did join the morning show. I know the guys were not able to get up to Flowery Branch today because of weather issues, but Dan Quinn did join them. So 9:40, we will hear from Coach Quinn and what he had to say about this upcoming season and thus far what he's seen in training camp. So lots to get into tonight, as always. But a couple of things that we will start off with is here locally with the Braves, who start a quick 2-game series against the Kansas City Royals. Dallas Keuchel on the mound tonight. You know, it'd be nice to see Dallas Keuchel get a really good start under his belt. You know, he's 3-3 with a 3.58 ERA. He's not been great. He's not been terrible. One start's pretty good. One start's kind of meh. You know, it's kind of up and down. I mean, you know, he's been fine. I mean, not that he's been a bad acquisition or anything like that, but you'd like to start to see him maybe take that next step forward. And we're going to talk at 7:40. And Jarvis doesn't know this, but I found an even better rumor than what I originally had that I think is very saucy, that MLB.com says this player should be number one on the Braves list. And if they make this move, could maybe say that they're the favorites to win the National League. I'm just saying a little bit. So we'll get to that at 7:40. But look, two games against one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball. Don't mess around with Kansas City, please. Go in there and handle your business. You know, you did what you had to do against the Washington Nationals, and wasn't the most beautiful thing in the world, but you split the series with them. And that's a win, because that's four games that the Washington Nationals get you chopped off their schedule, and they made no ground on you. That was an important series for the Nationals, sort of a early mini playoff kind of series, especially that final game where they could have taken three out of four. Because that would have been huge for the Nationals if they could have pulled that off. But you found a way, you know, found a way to split that series. Wasn't always pretty, wasn't always a thing of beauty, but at the end of the day, you did what you had to do. Well, now as you get ready to go take on the Royals, they stink. And this is where these are the kinds of little series where if you are the real, you know, team to beat in the National League or one of the real contenders, I mean, they're a contender, but, you know, are you Nationals contender or are you Dodgers type of contender? You know, the Braves are in that higher up grouping. This is where you don't mess around with these teams. There are just sometimes in baseball where you got to go out and flex your muscle and exert your will. That's what these two nights need to be against the Kansas City Royals. You know, the Phillies are playing the Tigers. So that's an even worse team than Kansas City. So what you don't want to do is do something stupid and stub your toe against the Royals while your other team in the division is basically playing nobody. The Nationals are playing the Rockies, but they're at home at least with Strasburg on the mound. Don't mess around. Don't let any of these teams, again, these are little series where you don't let teams feel good about themselves. And what I mean by other teams, Philly and Washington. Oh, well, look, Braves kind of stubbed their toe and left a little bit of open. Nah, man. Go handle your business, take care of business. Then the Braves get the Philadelphia Phillies from there. Then it's on like Donkey Kong at that point. And you start to take on the Phillies and put the hammer down and start to open up this division lead. They'll have three with Philadelphia and three with Washington as their next six games after. And by the way, everything on the road. So at Philly, at Washington, over the next six. But starting with this two-game set, handle your business there. And if you can go handle your business against Washington and Philly in that six-game road set, I would tell you the division will be over at that point. And I said it. You heard it here on the John Chuckery Show before anybody else. Take care of your business against Washington and Philly in that six-game set. You can have the division pretty much wrapped up. I don't care what the games tell you. You know, I don't care that they're not at their magic number or how many games are left. It's taken the soul because you're only going to get so many opportunities if you're Washington and Philly to go head-to-head. You're only going to get so many games that you can try to make up some ground directly and not you have to win, Braves have to lose, and all that kind of stuff. So go handle your business and take care of it. Now, real quickly on the Falcons, and I asked D-Led about this. You know, J.J. Wilcox at safety is done and out and tore his ACL. Who's considered what, Jarvis, the number three safety they have right now? Is there any chance a local kid could be looked at, or, you know, you willing to? Now, I don't know what Eric Berry's got left in the tank. I mean, that's the number one thing. But Bob Sutton is a guy who just came over from the Kansas City Chiefs, right? And he brought over Alan Bailey, right? I don't know what Eric Berry's got left. I can't begin to tell you. I mean, I don't know. You know, he's old for his age. I don't know what to tell you. But could you bring him into camp and let's see what he's got and try it out? I mean, you're not asking him to start. But if you got in a pinch, because here's what I'll tell you. Because I thought D-Led had an interesting answer because I asked him this question. Okay? But if you're a Super Bowl caliber team, would you rather have a younger guy? Or maybe like a wily vet. And I'll describe it like this. And I'm not trying to compare the two and what they would be. Does anybody remember how important Eugene Robinson was to the Falcons in 98? You know, he was, forget all the nonsense that happened in the Super Bowl. People forget he was a Pro Bowl player. And he was a leader. Was Eugene Robinson the same player that he was in Green Bay? No. Okay. But his leadership was invaluable. And maybe a guy like, an Eric Berry comes in here as another leader for that defense. And, you know, and I'm not saying he's a corner, but you work with some of the younger guys. You work, you know, Keanu's still a young guy. Isaiah Oliver. Just having a guy like that in the room who's been really successful, would there be some value to that? And maybe an outside voice, you know? I mean, not just necessarily a guy that's going to give you a ton on the field, but another outside voice. Because in all honesty, Eric Berry ain't going to get paid a whole lot of money. Like, he's not going to get paid a whole lot. I don't care who signs him. Nobody's backing up the Brinks truck for name over what he really is. And that's why I say he's not starting here or anything like that. But, you know, maybe it's worthwhile just exploring the possibility. Anything's possible. All right, when we get back, Calvin Ridley. Von McClure's got an article up on ESPN about, is Calvin Ridley ready for his breakout season? Is he ready? And do the Falcons really even need him to be? We'll talk about that next. It's John Chuckery Show from the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 910 The Game. The Game. Love me some old school Madonna. It is John Chuckery Show, live from the Kia Studios. Hanging out with you till 11 o'clock tonight. 404-741-0929. That is our phone line. It's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact with the show. Always on our Twitter handle, at JMCH316, at JarvisD90. Follow us on the show and be a part of the conversation. So, there's an article from Von McClure in ESPN today talking about one Calvin Ridley. And the headline for the article is, Why Calvin Ridley is Poised for a Breakout Year 2 with the Falcons. Now, we've talked a little bit about this. We kind of broke down some of his numbers and stuff earlier, I want to say maybe a couple of months ago or something like that, before we were official. I know that. It was it was when we were fake official. Yeah. Back when it was still the bunker mentality. So back when we were fake official. Yes, the Chuckery mentality, as some people call it. So, Ridley says, I definitely want to be great. I want to be one of the best, but I've got to work. I've got to play good all the time. Then I'll feel good about it. Matt Ryan saying about Calvin Ridley, Calvin's been unbelievable since he stepped foot in the building. I think he's got an eagerness to learn. He has a real desire to be the very best player that he can be, and he's competitive. Every day he comes to work, he works really hard, and he puts in the effort. It's impressive to watch. So, look, there's a lot of things I like about Calvin Ridley. Obviously, he had a monster year, and I think kind of surprised a lot of people with how big of a role that he had. He tied Mohamed Sanu for second on the team with 92 targets. Obviously, Julio got 170. But here's what I'll say about that. And I don't want to say I'm disagreeing with what Vaughn has to say here when you read his article. And he talks about his extra work he's putting and stuff like that. But I guess, what does that mean for a breakout year? Because I would tell you this. If you just replicated what Ridley did last year, this year, with their offensive line and Freeman and everybody's back, yeah. You know, honestly, I don't know that he needs to have some kind of breakout year for the Falcons to have huge success offensively. You know, Julio's going to get his numbers. As long as there's a guy that's wearing 11 and the name says Jones on the back, he's going to get his numbers. So that's going to always be Matt's first and foremost in where everything goes. Which is fine. I mean, obviously, he's the elite of the elite of the elite wide receivers in the NFL. So it's not a matter of that. It's just with Mohamed Sanu and Austin Hooper and Devontae Freeman, everybody can't be a breakout star, right? Everybody can't be that breakout player that has that big season. You know, if everybody just kind of replicates what they did last year, but now you add in potentially a 1,000-yard running back and a guy who can catch 55 balls out of the backfield and running behind a definitely improved offensive line, then I don't know that Calvin Ridley has to put up any kind of gaudy number. Now, maybe he does. Maybe he goes for 80 catches and 100 yards, or sorry, 80 catches and 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns. Maybe he has one of those kinds of years. I mean, it's not a matter of talent, or it's certainly not a matter of he doesn't have the quarterback that can get him those kinds of numbers. But Calvin Ridley is also not going to fool anybody this year. You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to sneak up on anybody in the NFL this year. And that's the thing. I always go back to what Bruce Arians says. You know, the guys on that side of the football get paid too. You know, so he's not going to just, you know, be able to, well, he's a rookie, let's see what he can do, and all of a sudden he's burning you downfield. You know, teams will have game plans. Look, if I'm going to get beat, Mohamed Sanu's going to beat me, not Calvin Ridley. Why? Because Calvin can stretch the field in a way that Mohamed Sanu can't. Fair or unfair, whatever you want to say about it, I'm not letting a Calvin Ridley beat me. You're going to have to beat me with Austin Hooper and Mohamed Sanu, or maybe Devontae Freeman. But it won't be Ridley and Julio, if I can, not being the ones that kill me. So like I said, it's not that I disagree per se with what Vaughn has to say. You know, when he talks about how, you know, you got DJ Moore, Dante Pettis, Cortland Sutton, some of the other, you know, big-time second-year wide receivers that are, you know, in the league. And Ridley was right up there, you know, with everybody as far as his numbers and everything goes, even though he's got, you know, the elite of the elite standing on the opposite side of him. And so with having Julio there, Matt Ryan also said he's got one of the best mentors that you could possibly ask for in Julio, a guy who can come talk to him after he's gone through certain stuff and say, that was really good, I liked your release, or that was pretty good, but if you try this setting up in this way, you might be able to create more separation. I think their relationship and the way that those two communicate has really accelerated Calvin's career. And Jarvis, you've been up there the last couple of days. We've seen the video of Julio kind of coaching and mentoring and things like that. And look, there's no reason, and Julio even says, you can't win if you hide pointers away from younger guys. You want them to be their best and be able to go out there and perform week in and week out for you. I want everybody to be successful. Which, of course, I mean, look, the better Calvin Ridley is, the better their offense is. The better Devontae Freeman is, the better their offense is. Hell, the better that Justin Hardy is and his 21 catches. At least we signed him, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, so while I understand, and it would be very easy to say that Calvin Ridley becomes that next breakout guy, and again, I would love for it to happen. But I don't know that it needs to happen. I don't know that it needs to happen. You know, I do kind of think that some people maybe are underestimating the idea of how many balls Devontae Freeman can catch out of the backfield. You know, this is a guy who's caught 70 passes out of the backfield before. What do I say all the time? You can't dumb your way to, what was it? I think it was 72 receptions that he had, if I have that right. I'll look up the official number out there. But you can't. You can't dumb your way to 70 catches as a running back in the NFL. It just doesn't happen that way. So he's a guy that we know that can be 73, huh? That's a stout number in the NFL. I don't care if you played in 1981, you played in 1974, 1998, 2007. 73 catches out of the backfield is a stout number. And I'm not saying that I expect Devontae Freeman to catch 70-something balls out of the backfield. But why can't he catch 50 to 55? Yeah. Yeah, 54 in 2016. Why can't he be that kind of guy? That's a huge number, too, by the way. To know that you can get, plus now the way Hooper catches, and you know, there's a guys to go deep, guys to come underneath, guys to swing out. There's a lot of options for Matt Ryan. And if he gets the chance to stand up, he'll pick the league apart. It's why I believe that Matt's about to have his best year ever. And that includes Super Bowl year, MVP year, last year. So I believe he's on track that he could absolutely have his best year as a pro, which that would be saying something for Matt. That maybe he's over that 5,000-yard marker. You know, maybe he's closer to 40 touchdowns. He can have that kind of year this year. So I get it. You know, Calvin Ridley has all the talent in the world. And look, he was a first-round draft pick for a reason. And I think a lot of people still kind of scratch their head and say, what in the world are the Falcons doing taking a wide receiver in the first round? But, you know, I get the idea. You take the best – that was the best available player. He was the best at his position. And if he's sitting there, you take him. And as much as we talk about what the Falcons will do as far as beefing up their line and more physical and tougher tight ends and Devontae can run between the tackles and Allison's a guy to drop his head and run between tackles, for all of that, this is still a pass-first team. This offense still revolves around two main guys, 2 and 11. Do the Falcons want and need to run the football better? Absolutely. They've got to be a better short yardage team. They can't be 27th in the league running the football. We all know that. But as long as you've got those two guys in 2 and 11, you're going to be a pass-first team. You're going to be a team that still hucks it around more. And you're going to be lining up in the eye, you know, and ramming it down people's throat. This isn't going to be the Seahawks of you know you're not going to have a running back in with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones probably ever again go for 1,600 yards. You probably will never see another Michael Turner type of season as long as Matt Ryan is the quarterback. And that's simply because Matt, at the level he's playing at, the level Matt is at right now, he's not a turn and handoff kind of guy. He's a drop back, seven steps, step up to five, and huck it all over the field, man, and let him throw darts all over the field. So, yeah, the guy of the 2 second-year players that you really need to be a breakout, if I could only pick one, it'd be Isaiah Oliver. Like, if you told me who becomes a breakout, who would you rather have be a breakout player, Isaiah Oliver or Calvin Ridley, I'd take Isaiah Oliver all day long. Because Isaiah Oliver is going to – you're going to need him more than what you even need Calvin Ridley. You need Isaiah Oliver to really find a way to lock down. So if I could only pick one of the two, you know, one guy has a sophomore slump, one guy gives that big progression, and I said, who would I want? Give me Isaiah Oliver. Give me Isaiah Oliver. Wow, it brings up 1-0 already. So take care of business here at home and just take care of the Royals. I mean, don't mess around with Kansas City. You know, wrap up this homestand, nice little homestand. Just beat down the Royals. By the way, Josh thought he hit another one out too. He gets that kind of I rope it with one hand and I kind of stand there and look to see what where'd it go and everything like that. So that one just kind of bounced at the warning track and bounced off the wall, but. Guess what? It all counts when you run around the bases and score for all of it. So lots of fun out at Falcons training camp. Coverage all week long out there. Of course, we are your home for all things Atlanta Falcons. Guys will be back up there tomorrow morning up at training camp. John and Hugh will be up there. Randy and Andy will be up there. Carl and Mike are wherever they're at. Wherever they're at, they're drinking and doing whatever they're doing. So they'll be around as well. And we'll be in the studio. And that's what we do. That's what we always do. All right, when we get back, there's a juicy little rumor out there, and MLB says the Braves should be the number one team to go after this particular guy. And I will tell you, I'd be all in, and I think it might make them the favorites to win it in the National League. We'll discuss that next. It's John Chuck Show from the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 929 The Game. Hey, Atlanta United supporters, join 929 The Game is coming Friday night at 9 o'clock at Hoyle's Kitchen and Bar off Roswell Road in Marietta for the Atlanta United versus LAFC watch party. Hoyle's Kitchen and Bar, games, good times, and good food. Welcome back into the Kia Studios on the John Chuckery Show on Sports Radio 929 The Game, 404-741-0929. That is our phone line. That's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact with the show. So as we're watching the Braves and taking their lead over the Kansas City Royals and, you know, wrapping up this homestand here, still a lot of trade rumors for the Braves, and I think we all believe that they are going to make a move at some point and beef up their starting rotation, bullpen, what have you. From The Athletic, where am I looking here? I'm trying to see who wrote it. There's still a lot of rumors. Oh, Jim Bowden. There we go. Jim Bowden from The Athletic. Former, GM, I think, or something. Jim Bowden. He's reporting still that the Atlanta Braves are in the market to acquire Madison Bumgarner from the Giants. which, okay. I mean, it's a guy, obviously, with a lot of experience, World Series champ, very clutch. I mean, I think if I'm going to go for Bumgarner, I'd just soon have Will Smith, you know, whatever out there. But, okay, I mean, that's fine. That's a potentially good move. But I saw this rumor from, and of course we're in that season, right? I mean, you know, we're in the crazy season. But there are some rumors out there that the Arizona Diamondbacks may be very interested in moving Zach Greinke. And MLB's reporter on MLB.com has the number one team that should go get Zach Greinke as the Atlanta Braves. They are not one of the 15 teams to which Greinke can block a trade. Now, remember that, because the Braves are one of the teams that Bumgarner can block a trade to. The Braves are not one of the 15 teams to which Greinke can block a trade. That was reported by Zach Buchanan of The Athletic this past November. The NL East leaders already made one move to strengthen the rotation with the midseason signing of Dallas Keuchel, who's been solid thus far, but the Brave Stars of the group still rank in the bottom half of the NL in ERA and FIP, whatever FIP is nowadays. Any idea what FIP is? Do I even want to know? And own the lowest strikeout-to-walk ratio, with Mike Fultonevich having pitched himself back to AAA, Kevin Gausman struggling, and Max Fried currently on the IL. Greinke could team with Keuchel and rookie Mike Soroka atop the rotation as Atlanta tries to win a postseason series for the first time since, are you ready, 2001. Now, here's a couple of things. So, first off, Zach Greinke, what is he? Well, right now he's 10-4 with a 2.93 ERA. We know he kills the Braves, right? We know that. Now, for him, his strikeout to nine inning is a little bit, it's a little bit lower than it's been the last couple of years. He's at 8.2. He's got 123 strikeouts and 135 innings. You know what his whip is? Walks plus hits divided by innings. 0.95. He's got a 0.95 whip. And by the way, you ready for this number, Jarvis? He's got 123 strikeouts to 17 walks on the year. He's only given up 17 walks on the year to 123 strikeouts. You want to know how you keep your whip really low? Walk 17 guys in 135 innings. Now, here's the downside, and this is where it gets tricky because of that group over there. And when I say that group, you know exactly who I'm talking about. Zach Greinke, after this year, has 2 years remaining on his deal for $70 million. You got $35 million next year and this year. He got $34.5 million this year. It's $35 next year, $35 the year after that. By the way, he is 35 years old right now. He'll be 36 next year, 37 when he gets done in 2021. So if you bring him on, he's not a rental player, but he ain't cheap. But here's the thing, and I will tell you the other thing that people are going to tweet me at 404 or text me, call me, 404-741-0929 or at JMCH316, at JMCH316. Here's what people are going to say. I know it's coming already. Well, he's not been good in the postseason. I understand. He's actually 3-4 with a 4 ERA in the postseason. I don't want to sit here and say, though, that the book is written on Zach Greinke and his potential. You give me Keuchel, Greinke, Soroka, Max Fried, I'll take that. I'll go against the Dodgers and the Cubs and anybody else you want to trot at me. If you told me I could have Soroka, Greinke as my 1-2 going into the playoffs, would you take that? Now, it's going to cost you $70 million for it. Can I raise my hand? I'm in on that deal. And if that means precious prospects have to go, if that means poor Ian Anderson gets shipped off, poor Drew Waters gets shipped off, and Kobe Allard and Kyle Wright and, hell, I don't know, who else we got? There's a million of them out there. Yeah. I mean, you know, all whatever group of them you got. And I know some people are going to say they don't want Christian Pache to be part of it. But here's what I'll tell you. At some point, you got to go for it. At some point. By the way, even if you give up Christian Pache, everybody understands, right, that the Braves are not devoid of talent on the field, right? Yeah, I understand. He's supposed to be your center fielder of the future and maybe leadoff hitter and all that. I get that. And I get that they don't have a ton of outfield prospects within the organization. But you've got one or two catching prospects that are coming up, right? What's his name? Contreras and then Alex Jackson right now, who had a real good start here of late in the kind of the second half of their season. Okay? Plus, Ozzie's not going anywhere. Dansby's not going anywhere. Acuna's not going anywhere. Still a lot of young guys. By the way, too, you know Camargo's not old either. Austin Riley, I don't think he's old, is he? So it's not like you're devoid of talent if you give up on Christian Pache. I would tell you, that's a salty idea and a salty thought. You know that? That's a salty idea. That's bold. That's a bold move, Cotton. Would you be in on that? I would. I'd have to see a package. But if you told me I could go get Zach Greinke, because let me put it this way. You want Marcus Stroman over Zach Greinke? I don't. You want Madison Bumgarner over Zach Greinke? I don't. If we're so desperate, as people love to tell me about, we need a starting pitching. We're so desperate for starting pitching. We got to have a starter. Got to have a starter. Got to have a starter. Okay. There's a starter for you right there. There's a starter. He's got 135 innings this year for you. To put that in perspective on this Braves team, you've got Tehran leads at 112. So he's 25 innings above Julio Tehran, who's your leader. Soroka and Fried are only at 102 and 103. He's 30 innings above those guys. So if you need a guy who can pitch some innings, by the way, that guy can pitch innings. The only guy who could screw up Zach Greinke if he got here would be Snitker. Oh, sorry. Did I say that out loud? You know, because he pulled him after 78 pitches in the seventh inning or something. Since he doesn't walk anybody. That's a saucy deal, man. I'd be in to go get myself some Zach Greinke. I'm a big Zach Greinke fan myself. All right, when we get back, CBS is going with a different primetime game. You know, they only do one primetime game a year. And that game is going to have a very local feel to it. Explain next. That was a nice little tease right there. It's the John Chuck Show on Sports Radio 910 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.